The title of this series, and again, I will continue it next week, is extremely exciting. And it's concerning the mind of Christ. And this is part one, subtitle, Removing the Veil. And we're going to take this teaching from John chapter 8. So if you would please all open to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 8. Now, let me say this before I begin in the Word. When you all get there, you need to give me your eyes. To know somebody's mind, you must first know their heart. And to know their heart, you must be in fellowship. Anita can just look at me, not a word spoken, and she knows what's in my heart. To know the mind of someone, you must first know the heart. And in discerning the mind of Christ and truly understanding this opens up a realm of the Spirit that you would have never thought possible. Now, this morning, you must listen very carefully. And you must ask the Holy Spirit to be your divine teacher. In John chapter 8 and verse number 4, it says, Then say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Verse 5, Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what thou say? Say that with me. But what sayest thou? In other words, what do you say, Jesus? Look at me. This is the million-dollar question. What does Jesus say? And everything we need to learn about discernment is wrapped up in this one scripture. Oh, this teaching this morning is not easy for itchy ears. Itchy ears won't grasp this teaching. But those who are hungry to understand discerning the voice of God will find this most refreshing. Moses in the law commanded that this woman be stoned to death, for she was caught in the very act itself of committing adultery. And they turned to Jesus and say, What do you say, Jesus? How many times have you asked that question about a circumstance or situation you have been in your life? What would Jesus do? So we're going to dive into this. Can't do all of this in 40 minutes. Let's begin to build our teaching this morning around this. What would thouest say? When we are faced with such great questions, we all have great desires to know the will of God and discernment. Amen. Now look at me. At the same time we are asking God for discernment and answers to these questions, we will always, hear me, we will always be pressured by the flesh. Coupled with the flesh, generally turmoil and confusion surrounds us. But we'll learn from this scripture, in order to hear from heaven, we must first remain calm. We must first surrender the will of the flesh to try to answer the deep mysteries of God and remain calm, and surrender the flesh and all of its theories and all of its philosophies and all of its knowledge. Be calm and quiet before God. We're going to see this in this text. We are going to see step by step the way that our Master handled hearing from heaven. How many of you would like to hear from heaven on some situations you're going through right now? Let's read it again, verse 4. They said unto him, Master, this woman was taken or caught in adultery. She had an affair. She was caught. That's a fact. She was wrong. And they said that in the law of Moses, that such should be stoned. So we have a situation. The woman is obviously guilty. Amen? Witnesses have condemned her. They have caught her. And the law of Moses demands that she be stoned to death. Stones are waiting in the hands of her accusers. What to do with the stone is the question. They've caught her. She's guilty. The question is, with this stone in my hand, what do I do with it? So who did they seek for the answer? They called him Master. The law of Moses supported stoning her to death. The law said she can be stoned, yet these Pharisees said, Master, what do you think we should do? In the last couple of weeks, I have never faced such a passion to want to know the will of God in my life than in the last couple of weeks. Hear me, church. True discernment requires that we must stop and listen. Say, stop. And listen. So they asked Jesus, what do you say? Do we stone her? But let me just tell you something. It wasn't just Jesus answering this question. It was God answering the question through Jesus. Step number one in hearing and discerning the voice of God, number one, you may want to write this down. You see in the scripture that Christ Jesus recognized that she sinned. In other words, he recognized the obvious. He recognized there was a dilemma. The dilemma and the obvious was not hidden. It was exposed. It was real. It was there. There was a situation. It was obvious. It was real. There was a dilemma. Big deal. He acknowledged that there was conflict. Number two, he then sees that this situation has a divine purpose. In fact, if you would look at me, I want to tell you something. Every situation in life that we face, every dilemma, has a divine purpose. Every situation, every dilemma, every problem, every conflict has a divine purpose that cannot be seen with these two eyeballs of yours. Do you remember the story in John chapter 9, and they came to Jesus and said, who sinned that this young baby was born blind? Do you remember that story? They went to the Lord and they said, Lord, this child was born blind. Who sinned, the mother or the father? Remember that story in John 9? What was his answer? He said, neither. Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The foundation of discerning the will and voice of God begins in what we do not see. What we do not see. And when we begin to understand that what we do see is our greatest enemy, we then begin to see in our hearts what is God's great divine design. Now, as we grow in the Lord, we learn, amen, that all things work together for somehow. Jesus saw in this scripture an opportunity for redemption. Jesus saw that this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and although she was caught in the act of adultery, and this was in fact a dilemma, and this in fact was true, and the Pharisees had the stones in their hands, here is what he saw. He saw an opportunity for this woman to be saved. And he also saw an opportunity for the Pharisees to repent. Look at verse 6. This they said, tempting him, that they may have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, verse 6, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. He ignored them. Why did he ignore them? We must block out all the noise of public opinion. He stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, ignoring them. Anybody ever been ignored before when somebody, when you were talking to somebody? Hello, anybody? Yes. You're talking to somebody and they're just doing their own thing. How intimidating is that? So look what he does. I'm going to share with you something that is actually a message in a message. Amen? He stoops down and with one finger. Now I'm just going to give you an illustration. There are hundreds of people standing around Jesus, men and women and children that have stones and rocks and boulders in their hand. There is a woman that was humiliated and embarrassed because she just had an affair on her husband. There is screaming. There is ranting. There is raving. There is anger. And they want justice. Jesus steps in the midst as the Pharisees begin to say, "What would you do, Jesus?" And he stoops down next to the woman and with his finger ignores them. And writes on the ground. Now, at first, you may not think there's any significance to this, but I pray in Jesus' name that you hear me. He stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he was not listening. You want to know why? Because he was listening. He was just not listening to them. He was listening to his heavenly Father. And to hear from God, to discern from heaven, you have to block out the chitter chatter of the world and ignore the promptings of the flesh. Are you hearing me? Then he asked her accusers a question. And he stooped down again. In verse 7, so when they continued asking him, what would you do, Jesus? What would you do, Jesus? Master, what would you do? He ignored them again. He stooped down and with his finger wrote in the dirt. And after he wrote in the dirt, he lifted himself up and said, after he heard from God, He ignored the Pharisees first time, stooped down, wrote on the ground. They were after him again and again and again for an answer. What did he do? He stooped down, ignored them again, wrote on the ground. And as he was writing on the ground, he heard from heaven. And this is what God told him. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. In other words, look at me. In other words, God said there's a new way to fight. Are you awake? God said to Jesus, ignoring them, there is a new way to fight. Our war isn't fought with stones. Our wars are not fought with guns. Our wars are not fought with rhetoric. Our wars are not fought with battleships and bombs. Jesus fought his accusers with one finger. Look at me, please. We must relearn how to think. We must learn how to pause before we speak. I'm going to say it again. We must learn how to pause before we speak. We must give ourselves a moment to enter the secret place of God. We must give ourselves a moment to seek his presence and then listen to what the Holy Spirit says. For he and he alone is our source of our discernment. I think he bent down and wrote what his father had written with his own finger on two stone tablets. I think what God had wrote on Mount Sinai on two stone tablets, the Ten Commandments, is what Jesus knelt down and wrote with his own finger in the dirt. I think he wrote those commandments in the dirt with his finger, just like his father had done, with one great difference. There's a new way to fight. It's not by flesh and blood or bombs or murder or hatred or stones. It's fought with love. Did you hear me? Now look at me for just a moment. In God's grand design, he knew the woman was caught in the act of adultery. He knew that the law justified killing her. God knew that according to the law that she should be stoned and that she should die. But in the bigger picture, do you want to know what God saw? He wanted his daughter home. He wanted his daughter saved. He wanted his daughter to know him. He spared his daughter in light of his own law. Now through a new law, the law of grace. Say this after me. I must relearn how to think. I must relearn how to speak. Mm-hmm. We must begin, church, we must begin today. We must learn to be comfortable with taking a pause. We must give ourselves a moment to enter the secret place of God and listen. Now, you may want to write this down. I'm going to tell you twice and tell you slow. In listening to God, we create the opportunity to hear the Lord's voice. We must posture before him. We must posture before him to receive answers. And then wisdom and insights, you will discern. In listening, we create opportunities to hear the Lord's voice. I'm going to say it again. In listening, not speaking, in listening. Say in listening. Listening. Say it again in listening. Listening. In listening, we create. We create. In listening, we create opportunities to hear the Lord's voice. Did you catch that? Did you know that using this gift of discernment that I'm teaching about can counter the advancement of the enemy and reverse the gains he might have otherwise obtained? Now, number one, let's look what he did. He admitted, he recognized there was the dilemma. Number two, he paused. He blocked the world out, knelt on the ground, wrote in the dirt, ignoring them, intimidating them. And he did it twice. And when he heard from heaven, what did he do? He got up and he said, he who is without sin. In the text here, in verse number 6, look what happened in verse 9, rather. Stay with me. And they which heard it, verse 9, being convicted by their own, they were convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone. With who? The woman. One by one, the stones fell. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he was looking at God's master plan. Here is the woman. Here is God's daughter standing in front of me. And he said to her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. Now, this is not a teaching giving you five steps to learning how to be a psychic or to learn how to read people's minds. I'm teaching you here this morning about learning how to read the heart of God. Yes. And unless you know God, unless you know the Holy Spirit, unless you know the Lord, you would not really quite grasp this. In the big picture, he had a young woman, and she was caught in the act of adultery. God wasn't angry at her. He was angry at the sin, amen? God's not angry at you. He's angry at the sin in you. He saw this woman in bondage. He saw this woman struggling. He saw this woman reach out to another man, and in the very act of adultery, her destiny had just now been destroyed. And Jesus in the big picture had compassion and mercy on her. Loved her. And because of that compassion and because of that mercy, God accomplished his goal. And then the other thing. You see in Scripture where it says their conscience. The Pharisees' conscience. Did you hear what I said? The conscience of the Pharisees. Pierced through their soul. The Pharisees' discernment was veiled in self-righteousness. What Jesus did to this woman, he said this. This was the discerning voice of God. He made it clear. In my kingdom, the merciful and the pure in heart decide who throws stones. In the heightened moment of turmoil, in the heightened moment of distress, in the heightened moment when the challenges and trials and dilemmas surround us, in our heightened moment of challenges, we must first wait, we must first pause, and we draw upon the voice of God. Jesus acknowledged there was a dilemma. And what did he do? He remained very calm. The reason why people are not hearing from God is that there is a veil of self-righteousness and pride covering your soul. So let me give you 4 steps. Number one, acknowledge the dilemma. Don't ignore it. Acknowledge it. Look at it. Recognize it. And then number two, we disown the limits of our opinions. Stop giving people your opinions. Disown them. Walk away from them. Disown your opinions, block out the world, get alone with God, whether it be an hour, a day, a week, or a month, and learn to wait and learn to listen. Number three, then we ask the most important question of all. Then we pray for the most important breakthrough of all. Remove the veil of self-righteousness. Remove the veil of opinions. Remove it from my heart. People are not hearing from God because your heart is hardened with pride. And when you do these three things, you acknowledge the dilemma. You disown your opinions. You ask that the veil of self-righteousness be removed. Your hearts remain open. Your hearts are pure. And you will hear from God. And you know, chances are what you'll hear? You'll hear love. You'll hear peace. Spiritual discernment is the grace to see in the unseen. Spiritual discernment is the gift of the Spirit to perceive the realm of the Spirit. Spiritual discernment is to understand the nature, hear me, is to understand the nature of that which is veiled. Look at me, church. True discernment from heaven is always first veiled. True discernment from God is always first veiled. And the only way to truly discern what is going on in heaven is to then remove the veil. The Pharisees did not understand. The Pharisees wanted her dead. And I want you to say this after me, please. Before he reveals the sins of others, he requires that I grasp my own deep need for mercy. Did you catch that? Before he reveals the sins of others, he requires we grasp our own deep need for mercy. Can I tell you a little story? A few years ago, I was faced with a personal dilemma in my own life with individuals that were not leading a moral life. And this issue so bound me. It so controlled me that I couldn't even hardly think. Months and months and months and months and years went by. Years. And all I was hearing was stone them. Stone them. Stone them. And do you want to know when I heard from God? Do you want to know where the breakthrough was? When I realized my own deep need for His mercy in my own life. I hope you just heard me. God, the Spirit of God brought me this pharisaical, pompous, arrogant, opinionated person that had been praying to hear from God, he brought me to a place where I myself needed to call upon his own mercy. And when I called upon his mercy, all of that left me. All of that bondage and all of that burden flew away. The true gift of discernment is not a faculty of your mind. It's a faculty of your heart. I want you to look at John chapter 5, and we'll close. Take a look at verse 30. And I want you to read this out loud with me, please. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Stop. Go backwards. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. I of my own self can do nothing. I of my own self can do nothing. But as I hear, I judge justly. Why? Because I do not seek my own will. In other words, hear me, church. When I pause and surrender self, when I pause and cast aside my opinions, please hear me. When I pause and I get alone with God, the voice comes to me. When I remain silent, I seek and ask the Spirit to remove the veil. When we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts, he does not simply enter as a doctrine of rights or wrongs. He enters us in a living voice. And then his Spirit brings conviction and direction. Finally, in closing, pay very close attention. This voice, this sacred voice, refuses to compete with clamor of our fleshly minds. This is God's voice. Not Larry King, not Dear Abby. This is the very voice of the King and Creator of the universe. And his voice requires full attention. He will not yell, he will not scream, he will not argue. He's not a frantic mother or disobedient child. He will not chase you. He will not track you down. He will not try to jam it down your throat. He waits. God's voice waits for self to die. So this is the pattern for true discernment. Acknowledge there's a dilemma. Disown your opinions. Wait. Wait and block out the world. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to remove the veil of self-righteousness over our hearts. And our opinions from our mouths. And this is the true pathway to spiritual discernment. Close your Bibles. Stand to your feet.